good plan. Let's look at Luke chapter 9. Amen. And let's look at verse 51 and read down to verse 56. The word says, "And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village." Amen. Let's pray today. Father, we give you glory and honor and praise. We're thankful right now, God, that we've come to a point where we can hear your word. Father, our prayer is that you will speak and that you will cause us to hear you, God, in the name of Jesus. Increase our faith, God, by your word.
Yes, Lord.
Give us fresh revelation today, God, as the word goes forward.
Yes.
Father, let us see how we can apply this word to our own lives, God. And Father, how we can be a source of encouragement and strength to someone else,
yes,
who also needs to hear the truth of the gospel. Father, we thank you right now for the seeds that shall be planted. We thank you right now for the harvest that shall spring forth in our lives. We call it done. We call it forth by faith in the matchless name of the Son of God. And Father, we give you praise for it in the name of Jesus. God, bless every hearer. Glory to God. Transform them into a doer in the name of Jesus. And Father God, help me to do exactly what you would have me to do and to say in this place. And Father, we give you all the glory. Father, I decrease. You increase, yes, Lord. And Father, we bless you. We praise you, God, for transformation. We believe in transformation,
yes,
coming,
yes,
forward.
Yes.
And thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Transformation. David said, creating me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me.
Yes.
Amen. Our title today, amen, is Steadfast in the Faith. Steadfast in the Faith. Praise God. Amen. God is calling us to be steadfast in the faith. I believe many of us, when we hear the word steadfast, we're reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul says that we are to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I want to talk about that. And God wants to talk about this morning, about being steadfast. Amen. Because it is so important, because our lives are, you know, we are blessed of God,
mm-hmm,
to have length of days.
Yeah.
And if you and I are going to finish the course that God has set before us,
mm-hmm,
we're going to have to be steadfast.
That's true.
Because everything doesn't work for us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in fact, I believe many of us can testify that it seems as if we have more challenges,
mm-hmm,
in our lives than anything else.
Yeah.
Challenges on every side.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul even said, we are what? Troubled on every side.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
That means everywhere you look, there's some trouble, there's some challenges, there are some issues.
Yeah.
But those things aren't meant to destroy us. If anything, they're meant to fortify us in our faith,
yeah,
and strengthen us in our inner man.
Mm-hmm.
But if if we're the same, because I know how I am, and I believe that if you're like me, you'd rather have good things in your life. You'd rather have the smooth road in your life rather than the rough road.
Right.
I know I do.
I know.
Amen. And so I can't sit here and say to you, amen, that all these challenges, it's like I'm jumping for joy. I understand they have a purpose, amen. The Bible says, count it all joy when you go through these various trials and tribulations, knowing that the testing of your faith worketh patience, right? And we understand that, but at the same time, I don't know about you, but sometimes I just want things to go right. Have you ever just been like that? Doesn't make you a bad guy. See, I think most of us feel that, Lord, can it just work out?
Yes.
You know, and see, the thing is that we have more things in our lives that don't work out the way we want to than we have that do.
Right.
And see, this is the thing, because some Christians don't want to say this, because, see, that pokes a hole in your testimony that you're blessed and not in favor. See, you think it does, but it doesn't.
No.
Because the truth of the matter is, the reason why you're blessed and highly favored is because all these troubles that you do have in your life don't crush you.
Amen.
That's what makes you blessed and highly favored. Not that your life is free from trouble, but that your trouble doesn't crush you.
Jesus.
And that is why we're blessed and highly favored. But see, some Christians, see, they don't want to admit to the troubles of life, because they believe that being blessed and highly favored means everything's working out exactly the way you want it. But you just have the wrong understanding of what it means to be blessed and highly favored.
Amen.
Mary went through some things after Gabriel said to her that she is blessed and highly favored among women.
That's right.
Amen. There were a whole lot of people who didn't believe her story.
That's right.
Oh, God impregnated you, huh? Yeah, I believe that. How many of you know that Mary was called some names behind her back?
That's right.
That Mary was called some names to her face.
That's right.
And this was after the angel said she's blessed and highly favored among women. Being blessed and highly favored doesn't mean you don't have some challenges and some issues. Amen.
Yeah.
And so we're blessed and highly favored, but we have some issues. And the thing is that if we're going to get to that point, and we will, amen, where we come into the promises of God, just as the children of Israel came into the promised land, but if we're going to do that, it requires us to be steadfast in the faith.
Amen.
We can't give up. Amen.
Amen.
Giving up is just simply not an option. Amen. It's not for the person of God who wants to see the promises of God come to pass in their life. Amen. Giving up is not an option. We have to be steadfast. Amen. Now, I looked the word up steadfast so we can have some working definitions. Amen. Of what it means to be steadfast. And there are a lot of definitions, but there was some that spoke to my heart more than others. Amen. And to be steadfast, one of the working definitions that we'll use today is to be determined in purpose. You're determined in purpose. You know you have a purpose, and you are determined for that purpose. Amen. You're steadfast. Mm-hmm. Amen. You have a purpose. You have a goal, and you're just determined. Another definition is fixed in intensity or direction. Right? You're fixed. You're unchanging. You're unswerving. You're unmovable. You're fixed in either direction or in intensity. Amen. And then the last one I really like is firmly loyal.
Wow.
When you're steadfast, you are firmly loyal.
Yeah.
See, a steadfast person is not a flighty person.
Right.
A steadfast person doesn't waver this way, that way. See, things may change in the life of a steadfast person, but the steadfast person doesn't change.
Yeah.
The steadfast person remains the same, unswerving. Amen. Why? Because there's a determination. Amen. There's a fixing of your heart and in your mind and in your spirit concerning the things of God. I may be going through some things. I may be facing some challenges, but I yet believe God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Job was steadfast. Amen. Yeah. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen. And see, that's the way we have to be. We have to be steadfast. Maybe things are not going the way we want them to go, but we are going to remain what? Fixed. Amen. We got to remain steadfast. Amen. Otherwise, we are not going to receive all the promises of God.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Because if you're not steadfast, if I'm not steadfast, we are going to give up.
Yeah.
Right. Amen?
Right.
And see, the devil cannot stop the promises of God coming to pass in your life.
Yeah.
He can't.
Right.
Because all the promises of God are yea and amen
right.
through Christ Jesus.
Right. Right.
He can't stop them from coming, but he's hoping that you stop yourself from receiving them
right.
by giving up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah,
see, he wants to discourage you. Don't go to church anymore. Don't read the Bible anymore. Don't pray anymore. Don't fellowship with the saints anymore.
Right?
Don't give of your tithe and your offering anymore.
Right.
He wants to challenge you in your godly discipline because he understands that the only way you and I receive the promises of God is by doing things the way God has ordained for us to do. That's why he wants to tell you to go your own way.
Or
to follow some other newfangled way of thinking and believing and conducting yourself and all these things. Why? Because if he can get you off that path that God has ordained for your life. Amen. And how many of you know there is a path of life that God shows us? Amen.
Yes.
And if we get off that path, then he knows.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't get the blessings that God has.
Right, exactly.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So if I can get you to stop traveling your route, if I can get you to stand on the side of the road and feel sorry for yourself, to have a pity party, to start blaming other people, blaming society because you're not the right shade or you're not the right race or nationality.
Yeah.
If I can get you to start blaming other people because they don't understand you.
Yeah.
If I can get you to start pointing fingers at the economy and all the other things, then you know what? You will lose your desire to come into the purpose of God. You won't be steadfast anymore.
That's right.
You'll be weary.
Yeah.
And that's why the Bible says to us, what? Do not be weary in well-doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible makes a promise to us that we will inherit the promise if we do not faint.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? So we have to be steadfast. We look at the scripture today, and verse 51 of Luke chapter 9 says, "And it came to pass." You know, one of these days, I'm going to just do a little search phrase, and I love all the technology we have now.
Mm-hmm.
You have no excuse for not finding stuff in the Bible.
Amen. That's
so true.
There's no excuse.
Amen.
Other than you, can we say
it?
You're lazy. Amen. Come on, somebody. Because you got a computer, you got a laptop, you got a smartphone, you got an iPad, and you got all the internet is always with you. You can search right there for phrases and all kinds of things. And this
That's
group,
right.
We're blessed, amen, but we got to use the technology. And one of these days, I'm going to use the technology just to run a search on how many times it says in the Bible, "and it came to pass."
Mm.
See, those are some of the most anointed words in the Bible, "and it came to pass."
Mm.
See, we got to understand something. Amen. The promises that God makes, there's always "and it came to pass" in the life of the faithful
Amen.
People. Amen?
Yes.
And see, that's what I want. Amen. And see, I want more and more, "and it came to pass."
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So it came to pass on this day, when the time was come, that he should be received of. Talking about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem.
Right.
Amen. Jesus understood something. Notice what it says. The time had come. It's talking about a divinely appointed time. God had, the Father had set in Jesus' life that there was a time where he was going to have to go to Jerusalem to be persecuted and to die.
That's right.
And the time had come. Mm-hmm. And when that time had come, Jesus had a resolve within himself, because as the scripture says, he steadfastly set his face for Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. He knows he's about to go, into some challenges, some persecution, some opposition, and even death. But he's steadfast in that. He's fixed in intensity, amen. He's determined in purpose, right? He's unchanging, he's unswerving, and he's firmly loyal to the plan and purpose that the Father has for his life. He's not thinking that, oh, I don't want to go through this, or this is going to be hard for me, or this is going to hurt, or this is going to have to take a sacrifice. He's just thinking one thing: this is the Father's will for my life. And when it comes to that, whatever has to come my way, I'm going to be steadfast. And so now the time comes when he's going to be steadfast. Amen. It says he set his face steadfastly toward Jerusalem. I want you to see something, amen, because if you turn with me, keep your finger there. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 50. And this is just something that comes from the fact we're looking at this right now simply because we love the Word of God, don't we?
Amen.
And see, we love the Word of God, and all of the Bible speaks to the other parts of the Bible. The early parts speak to the later parts, and the later parts speak of the earlier parts. Amen. That's why you have to love the Word of God. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 6. Isaiah, the prophet, speaking prophetically, said, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that pluck off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. See, Isaiah talking prophetically about the Messiah, amen. And see, the Messiah, he understood something. I'm going to go through some things, but my face is set like a flint. And how many of you know a flint is a hard stone, amen? It's a hard stone. You can make tools out of flint, amen. You can build structures out of flint, amen. It's a hard stone. And so when it says here, I set my face like a flint, it's like I'm not moving. Amen. His face is set fast like a flint and set hard like a flint. Why? Because he understands something. It's there that I can deliver the world from its sin. Come on, somebody. So you got to be fixed on purpose. When if you're not fixed on the purpose that God has for you, it may be easy for you to say, I don't want to go through all of that. Amen. Sometimes we, if we're honest, we focus too much on the inconvenience. We focus too much on the pain. We focus too much on the frustration of things. And that determines whether or not we're going to go through something. That's not the mark of a steadfast person. Amen. A steadfast person is driven by the purpose that God has for their life.
Amen.
And so Jesus understood something. We turn back to Luke chapter 9. Jesus understood something. He said, I must go to Jerusalem. Why? Because the time has come. The time has come. Jesus was very focused on time. His mother told him, Jesus, we've run out of wine here at the marriage feast. Jesus says, what does that have to do with me, woman? My hour has not yet come. My hour has not yet come. But now it tells us in the Bible that time has come. And now he's steadfast. Amen. There's no more. Look, I'm setting my face like flint, and I got to go to Jerusalem. I'm not turning to the left or to the right. How many of you know Jesus is our example? How many of you know that just as Jesus has a purpose and had a purpose of God, so do you. So do I. So do we. We all have a purpose from God. And we have to be steadfast in that purpose. And when the time comes, for us to walk into that purpose that God has for us, we can't be dilly-dallying. We can't be going back and forth.
Amen.
We can't be distracted by the winds of life. But we have to be steadfast. Jesus is our example. And so he knows he's about to go into persecution and even his death. And yet it says he steadfastly set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. So he sends some messengers to go before him to prepare the way. And they go into Samaria, and the Samaritans don't receive him. Amen. And that's because of the long history between Samaritans and Jews. The northern kingdom was captured by Assyria, amen, and then they intermarried with the Assyrians.
Yeah.
And they became what the Jews would term derogatorily half-breeds.
Yeah.
And those in the southern kingdom looked at those who were in Samaria, and they looked at them with contempt.
Yeah.
And it was vice versa. The Samaritans hated the Jews, and the Jews hated the Samaritans.
Yeah.
So much so that if a Jew had to go someplace and had to travel through Samaritan territory, that Jew would rather walk around the territory.
Yeah.
Even if it took them considerably longer to get to their destination, rather than go through Samaria.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus had to tell his disciples at one point in John chapter 4, I must needs go to Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
See, because Jews didn't go to Samaria. Mm-hmm. To Samaria, amen? Mm-hmm. That's why even the woman at the well said to Jesus, he said, give me a drink. She says, what are you doing? You being a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman asking me for a drink.
Yeah.
Yes. Why? Because Jews and Samaritans didn't get along.
Okay.
They didn't talk to one another. Mm-hmm. And so the Samaritans here, when they knew that Jesus was going to go to Jerusalem, they said, we're not helping you. You can't come into this city.
Yeah.
You know, you're going on to Jerusalem, go about your business, but you can't come and find any hospitality here.
Yeah.
And then here, James and John, walking with Jesus all these years, learning at the master's feet. When they get this report, they turn to Jesus and they say, you want us to pray down fire? You want to pray down fire like Elijah did? Amen. And when they talk about the praying down of fire, just to be clear, amen, because see, Elijah prayed, remember he prayed for the altar?
Mm-hmm.
When all those the false prophets were there and the fire came down and consumed the altar. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Right? On Mount Carmel.
Right.
How long you halt ye between two things? They're not talking about that. They're talking about the time when Ahaziah was the king of Israel, and he fell. He fell through the lattice in his bedroom, and he injured himself. And he's in his bed, and he wanted to know whether or not he was going to die. And so he sent his servants to go see Beelzebub, the god of Ekron,
yeah.
You know, a false god.
Mm-hmm.
And the word came to Elijah. God gave him the word, and he met the messengers in the way, and he told those messengers, go on back, right, and tell your king, amen, is it because there's no god in Israel that you got to go search for this pagan god?
Mm-hmm.
He said, you are not going to get off your bed. Oh, somebody need to hear this, amen.
Yeah.
Because some of us act like there's no God in Israel. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Some of us act like there's no God, amen. There's no God in heaven. Because you go searching for other answers in other places when God has all the answers for your life.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And so he said, go tell him he is not getting off that bed of affliction. He's going to die.
Right.
And so they went back and they told the king, and the king said, who told you that? And they said, I don't know, but he was a hairy man. He had a leather girdle around his waist.
Yeah.
And they said, and then the king said, that's a lie.
Right?
And then he sent a captain of 50s to go see Elijah, to go bring him in.
Yeah.
So they come and see him. They go, man of God, the king wants to see you. He said, if I be a man of God, let the fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50.
Wow.
And the fire came down and consumed them.
Wow. Yeah.
And a second 50 came, and a man of God, he said, if I be a man of God, Let a fire come down and consume the second 50.
Yeah.
Then a third 50 came, and that captain, he said, that captain of that 50 said, he bowed out to the ground and said, have mercy on me. He got the lesson, right? And God said, don't be afraid to go with him.
Yes.
Amen. And so he went with the captain of the 50s, and he went back to the king, and Elijah said the same words that God had told him. Is it because there's no king in Israel that you have to go search out this pagan god? You are not coming off that bed. You're going to die. Amen. And the next verse says, and he died just as the Lord said to Elijah. But so it was this story, though, right? When Elijah prayed down fire from heaven to consume the enemy, that James and John remembered.
Yeah.
So they said, they want to do the same thing. Right. These Samaritans don't want us to go through the village. Can we pray down some fire on them? Listen, you got to be careful how you read the Bible. Amen.
Therefore, you
see some stuff going on in the Bible. I don't mean that's true.
Amen.
Because they read the Bible and think, well, if Elijah did it. And Jesus looked at them and said something very important. Look what he said. He said, you don't know the manner of spirit that you are of.
Yeah.
Why did he say that to them? Well, if you look in the beginning of this very same chapter of Luke, Jesus sends them off to go preach into other towns. And he said to them, if they don't receive you in these other towns, shake the dust off your feet.
Yeah.
That's how he taught them how to deal with opposition.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And isn't that something that it's not that long after that they come back, they face some opposition, shaking dust. I want to bring down some fire, Lord. So here we are. We come into the house of God. And it's not that long ago that God stood in front of us, amen, speaking through a man of God, speaking through a woman of God, and said unto us, you need to forgive people. We go, oh yeah, we need to forgive. And 3 weeks later, somebody does something to you, and you turn into James and John, and you want to pray down fire.
Yeah.
I know none of you do that, but some of us just do that, you know.
Yeah.
Quickly forget the lessons that the master has taught you.
Yeah.
How many lessons that the master has taught you that you aren't putting into practice right now?
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Yeah. And look at other parts of the Bible to try to justify you doing something.
Yeah.
God told you to forgive the other day. You want to focus on the verse of scripture that Paul says that you should, you know, not talk to the guy who's not doing the right thing. And it's not to say that's not true, but if God just told you about forgiveness, you need to think that God wants you to do some forgiving right about now.
Yeah.
Oh, but no. We want to grab on the one that makes us feel good. Listen, can I tell you something? Do you know your flesh has not been reborn?
That's right.
Only your spirit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Only your spirit. So your flesh still wants to do some fleshly stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
You still want to get people back.
That's right.
James and John wanted to get people back.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, you don't know what manner of spirit you are of.
Yes.
And then he said something important. He says in verse 56, I have not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Jesus didn't come to destroy your life. He didn't come to kill your joy. He didn't come to take away all your fun.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
That's right.
He came to save you. He came to give you life and that more abundantly. Amen. He came to give you a peace that the world didn't give and the world can't take away. Amen. That's why he came. But we look at all this, and Jesus remains steadfast.
Mm-hmm.
He remains steadfast even though he knows I'm about to walk into some persecution.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. He remains steadfast even though as he wants to set up camp in Samaria, he now faces opposition.
Mm-hmm.
He remains steadfast even though the people around him start acting up.
Yeah.
Huh? He doesn't lose his focus.
Yeah.
And see, so many of us, we have opposition in our lives, don't we? Mm-hmm. We have people in our lives who aren't acting the way they should be acting at certain points in time.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes your wife, quite frankly, she ain't acting like she's supposed to.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, power. And there's times when husbands aren't acting the way they're supposed to.
Right.
There's times when children aren't acting the way they're supposed to.
Yes,
there's times when your friends aren't acting the way they're supposed to.
Right.
Amen. But here's the thing. So many times when that happens, we allow those things to get us off our track.
That's right.
And what the Lord is letting us see here is that, listen, he just taught James and John about shaking dust off the feet, and here they want to consume people with fire. And Jesus did not lose his focus.
Yeah,
he still remained steadfast on his purpose.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And see, somebody needs to be free today. Because, see, listen, even if your children, sometimes your children ain't acting right, and parents get all crazy. I don't know what I'm going to do with that boy. I don't know what I'm going to do with that girl. I don't know. You better stay on point. That's what you better do, amen. Because you still need to remain steadfast in your purpose in God. Because if you allow that to get you off your course, not only are they not going to get you where God wants them to be, but neither are you.
Yeah.
And so you got to stay steadfast, amen. Yeah, maybe your son's acting up. Maybe your daughter's acting up.
Yeah.
Maybe your niece and your nephew's acting up.
Yeah.
You tell them you don't know what manner of spirit you are, but you keep being steadfast.
Amen.
Don't let them pull you off course.
Amen.
Don't let them pull you off course. Jesus' disciples are there. Amen. Put it into modern time. I mean, you got a leader of the church, and his deacon board acting up. His trustee board acting up. He might listen. You got to plant your feet. Now, I don't care about these people. God got a plan and a purpose.
Amen.
But your employees may be acting up one of these days. Amen. They messed up with the customers. Amen. But you got to look. I got to remain steadfast. Because if you don't, what's going to happen? Amen. If they're already messing up, somebody's got to keep the course. Amen. Somebody's got to stay the course. And so Jesus stayed the course, amen. So listen, when we talk about being steadfast in the faith, please understand something. It's going to come in the face of challenges.
Yeah.
You and I can't determine if we're steadfast unless we first have opposition. The same way you can't determine whether or not you're strong unless you have resistance.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You can stand there and go, I'm stronger than Lot. But if I put 15 pounds in your hand and you fall to the floor, you're not strong. Right? But if somebody puts 500 pounds and now you can, in the face of that resistance, you can still lift it up. Now you got something to say.
Amen.
And so our ability to be steadfast is only revealed in the face of challenges. Amen.
Yeah.
And the challenges may come from other people. The Samaritans who didn't want Jesus to come to the town, that's external opposition. Or it may come from some frustrations and things that are closer to home. Disciples, spouses, children, neighbors, co-workers, employees, classmates.
Amen.
People who are close to you.
That's right.
But whether they're near or far, what you and I need to do is say, I'm staying on purpose.
Amen.
I'm staying on point.
Right.
I got to set my face like a flint for the things of God. Why? Because just as it says here, that the time was come that he should now walk into this divine purpose, God is saying to us today, amen, that the time has come for you and I to get into a different place. There's a purpose that God has for us. And if we're going to come into that time that has come, we got to remain steadfast. Les and I were talking a couple of weeks ago about how it just seems like, you know, things all of a sudden on every side just seem like stuff. It just seems like stuff just coming from every side, right?
Right.
Amen. We're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen. But it's coming from every side, and it just seems like it's just, like, why? And when? And how long, Lord? You ever have those prayers? How long, Lord?
Right.
How long? Why is this going on for so long?
Right.
Jesus.
But we got, it's a test. It's a test for us to be what? Steadfast.
Yes.
Are you going to stay in there? Are you going to hang in there? Are you going to face the opposition? Are you going to face the frustrations? Are you going to face the annoyances of life? And how many of you know there's a lot of those in our lives?
Yes.
But the true victors are the ones who overcome these things. Amen. Amen. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. And we got to stay what? Steadfast in that faith.
Amen.
Now watch this. Turn with me to, glory to God. First Peter. Chapter 5. Oh, taking hold of the promises of God did not come without a price. Jesus paid the ultimate price, amen, when he went to the cross. But you and I still must pay a price as well.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Price of obedience. Price of suffering, amen.
Amen.
Suffering teaches us obedience, amen. Price of service. Patience. There's a price to pay. But let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's look at verses 8 and 9. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, it's personal, amen? Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And of this devil, the Bible says that we are to resist steadfast in the faith,
yes,
knowing that the same afflictions which are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Amen.
Amen.
We got to resist all these things that are going on in our life, all these upsets, all these temptations, all these trials, all these challenges. We have to be steadfast in the faith.
Amen.
Otherwise, listen, glory to God. Do you understand something? The enemy can only devour those who are devourable.
Mm.
That's why he's looking.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Exactly.
Because if he could just knock on any old body, he wouldn't have to look.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Anybody who came across his path, that's one. Uh-huh. But he walks around and he sees those who are saying, oh, not him. Uh-huh. Amen. And he walks, oh, not her. And what's he doing? He's looking for someone who's wavering.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Someone who's on the edge.
Right.
That's why he has to look.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
He comes to a whole group of believers. He has to do like this. Where's
right.
the weak? Where's the weak?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's what lions do. When they tell you on the nature show, they sit there in the bush.
Yeah. That's right.
And they look for the scragglers.
Yeah. Yeah.
They look for the weak ones.
Yeah.
They look for the young ones.
Yeah.
They look for the ones who got distracted and got away from the rest. Oh,
yeah.
Glory
yeah.
to God. Who got away from the rest of the group.
Yeah.
That's the one they go after.
Yeah.
They look. And they, when they're running, the whole herd is running, they all fix on the one that they want.
Yeah, that's Jesus. Right.
It's hundreds of them. They know which one they want.
Exactly.
I want that weak one right there.
Uh-huh.
I saw him limping by the by.
Yeah,
he was drinking
right.
the water.
Yeah.
And that's what the enemy of our soul does. He comes into the room and he's looking whom he can devour. Who's the one that's peeling off from the rest of the group?
Right.
Who's the one
yeah.
who doesn't go to church anymore?
Yeah.
Who's
yeah.
the Who's yeah. the one
yeah.
amen,
right.
who's
yeah.
offended and can't walk with the Lord anymore?
Yeah. Right.
Who's
yeah.
the
right.
one that got unforgiveness in their heart?
Yeah.
Who's the one that's having trouble believing
yeah.
in God?
Yeah.
Who's
yeah.
the one? Because those are the ones I can devour.
Yes. Yes. Right.
But
right.
the ones who have their face set like flint.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
ones who say, oh, though he slayed me, I'm going to trust him. Amen. Those who
yeah.
say, where else am I going to go?
Yeah.
Because you, Jesus, have
yeah.
the word of life.
Yeah.
Those who are remaining
yeah.
in their place.
Yeah.
He said, I can't bother
yeah.
with them. Amen.
Right. That's right.
Oh, the devil's a lot of things, but he ain't
yeah.
stupid. Amen.
Right.
He ain't going to mess with
right.
one that he messed
right.
with. He knows.
Hallelujah. Right.
Who he knows is going to make another open show with him. Amen.
Yeah.
So he's looking for the weak ones.
Mm.
Amen.
Wow.
But our job is to do what? To resist him, steadfast in the faith.
Yeah.
The Bible says that if we resist the devil,
he will flee.
He will flee from us. But before we can resist, James said, humble yourself under the hand of God.
Yeah.
And so we got to humble ourselves, then we can resist, and the devil will go away. So what are we going to do? We have to have resolve within ourselves to say, I'm going to be steadfast.
Amen.
I'm not going to waver. Amen. We have to have that resolve within ourselves. We have to make a decision. You've been taught enough word.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you and I don't have more to learn. Don't get me wrong. But you have enough word right now to be living in victory right now.
Yeah.
But we have to make a determination. I'm living out this word.
Amen.
I'm not going to hear the word on a Sunday and then forget about it by Tuesday.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to live this word.
Amen.
I'm going to see what is God saying to me. And then when I get the word next week, I'm going to go back to my bulletin from last week and 2 weeks ago and see if it pieces itself together.
Yeah. Right.
Because God speaks in sentences.
Yeah.
People say, is there a word from the Lord? No, there's sentences, there's paragraphs,
yeah.
There's books.
Yeah.
Come on now.
But we got to piece it together.
That's right.
We only can come on a Sunday and get a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. A little bit. We come to Bible study, get a little bit.
Yeah.
You read and you get a little bit.
Yeah.
But sometimes you got to back up and say, let me get a broad view of everything God can say to me.
Yeah.
And piece it together. We have to make that determination because God has given us enough to continue going forward to Him to the next level, to the next step.
Yeah.
No one's saying you're all the way there yet, but you know what? God's given you enough to take that next step.
Yeah.
And then maybe you come to Bible study this week and you come get back into your word and you come to church service next week and guess what? He gives you enough to do what? Take another step. Right? So how are you going to get to along your journey? You think you're just going to jump like Edwin Moses in a long jump? You don't do long jump. Who did the long jump? Where was the long jump, amen? Huh? Jesse Owens? You think you're just going to jump 27 feet, 6 inches and get to go? You want to go what? Step by step. And God's going to allow you and I to go step by step by the way He teaches us and gives us His word that's going to give us the faith to take the next step.
Amen.
Yeah.
But we got to say within ourselves, I'm going to be steadfast. Amen. Then I want to go to one last place. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3. Because in addition to you and I making a decision within ourselves that we're going to be steadfast, you and I have to help one another.
Right.
Yeah. We have to help one another. We have to encourage one another. Amen. We have to have an interest in each other's lives.
Jesus.
Not an interest in each other's lives from a busybody, nosy body point of view.
Yeah.
Right. But because you actually care.
Yes.
And you want the best for your brother and your sister.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
You're not asking questions just to get in folks' business. It's because you want to be able to help, to know how to pray, to encourage in the right way, but we have to help each other. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 3. Let's look at verse number 12. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, before we go further, I just got to stop right here. We got to meditate on something now and later. Please do not don't play around with doubt.
Right.
Don't say things like, "Well, I'm just not there yet," and think that's okay.
Right.
You know, don't mess around with, yeah, you believe God, but you're sort of trouble believing God. And then see, you're going to point to the Bible. I'm just like that father who said, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. No, you're not just like him because he asked for help.
Amen. Amen.
He asked for help.
Yeah.
You just acknowledge that you got it.
Right.
You understand how we trick ourselves?
Yeah.
I'm just like that man. No, you're not. He asked for help.
Right.
You sit there going, I asked for who don't believe. And you think it's okay. Well, I just want you to see what the Bible says about your unbelief. Look at this again. Mm-hmm. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief, the Bible says, comes from an evil heart. So if you got them, don't you downplay unbelief. Unbelief is an enemy.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
So don't be, oh, I'm just not there yet. You know, God is growing me up.
You better grow up fast, amen? And you better make a decision. I believe God. What does it take for you to believe God? A God who cannot lie.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Well, what you got to grow up in? A God who cannot lie. If he said it, I believe it. And if you're struggling with your belief, then you go to Jesus the same way that Father did and say, help me with my belief. Amen. But don't you sit there allowing unbelief to be on the inside of you.
Right.
It's evil. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. And so it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And then it says this, but exhort one another daily. Encourage one another every day. While it is called today,
amen.
Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ. In other words, we share in all the blessings of Christ. What it says, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end.
Amen.
Amen. See, we will share in all the blessings of Christ, but we have to hold on to that same confidence we had at the beginning. You know, when you were first saved and you were filled with confidence and you were on fire and you were excited and everything, the Bible says we need to hold on to that same confidence, and we need to do it with a firm determination. Amen. With a firmness of purpose. With an intensity in our spirit. Amen. With a firm loyalty to God and the things of God. And if we do that, it says we need to be steadfast until the end. But it says we have to exhort one another. I got to encourage you. Hang in there, buddy.
Yeah.
Amen. Too many times I hear Christians talk about others who are struggling in their faith and go, he just needs to have faith. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Criticize and put them down. Well, he just needs to believe God. He needs to just stop running the street. He needs to, and we get so judgmental.
Wow.
Right. Wow. But we need to encourage one another.
Yes.
I need to encourage you. I need you to encourage me.
Yes. Yes.
Why? Because I'm going through stuff. You're going through stuff.
Yes.
And God put us in the same spiritual family so that we can help one another.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I'm trying my best. You're trying your best. But you know, sometimes even when you're trying your best,
yes,
at any given time, life can really knock you for a
loop. Right, right.
And at times like that, the worst thing in the world is for somebody in the family to come and to put their nose up at you, because right now you're struggling more than they are.
Yeah.
Amen. A house divided against itself can't stand. And that's what the enemy wants us to be, you know, distancing ourselves from a brother who's struggling. Oh, let's get away from this brother. He got issues. Amen. But we need to come to one another.
Yes.
We need to help one another.
Yes.
Amen. Why? Because we cannot walk this journey alone.
That's
God
right.
said it is not good that the man be alone.
Right.
We cannot walk this journey alone.
Right.
And so what are we going to do? Let's encourage one another.
Yeah.
Amen. So listen, how are we going to be steadfast? Make up a decision in our own mind. Every man, every woman has to be persuaded in their own mind.
That's right.
Yes.
Right.
But you can't do it alone.
That's right. That's right.
We need each other.
Yes, we do.
We need each other.
Yes.
I need you to encourage me. Hang in there. Hey, you need me to come to you. Hang in there. You keep believing God. You keep breathing. You keep keeping your wife right. You keep doing the right thing. You keep doing good. You keep serving.
Amen.
Amen. Because as you keep doing that, then you're going to remain strong and steadfast in your faith.
Yes, yes. That's right.
Wow.
And you will come to that place of purpose that God has for you. The Bible is filled with them, amen.
Yes.
With people who are steadfast.
Yes.
Moses was steadfast.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. All time, Pharaoh, 9 times, tell him, no. Even on the 10th time, after he let him go, still changed his mind. He can't chase him.
That's right.
40 years he's leading these people in the wilderness. These rebels, he called them at one point. Amen. But he had to be steadfast. Joseph before him was steadfast.
Yeah.
Amen.
thrown into the pit by his brothers, sold into slavery, lied on, put into the dungeon, put into the prison, forgotten about, amen, by the cupbearer.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
But yet he remained what? Steadfast in the faith. 17 years old, God gave him a dream. It was not until he was 30 years old where he was appointed governor in Egypt.
Yes.
13 years of pits and lies and prisons there, but he remained steadfast.
Yes.
Amen. The Bible has filled these stories of people who are steadfast. David steadfast as he's
right.
living from cave
that's
to cave
right.
while a king
that's
is trying
right.
to kill him.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
he
true.
Remains steadfast.
That's
amen.
Right.
This is what the people of God do.
Yeah.
We have to remain steadfast.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. And so let's encourage one another to hang in there.
Yeah.
To be steadfast in the faith. If you see somebody waving in their face, say, brother, don't give up.
Amen.
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 God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent.
Right.
You don't give up. Amen.
Right.
Amen. God is no respecter of persons.
Yeah.
You see how he's got so-and-so over there?
Yeah.
He will bless you in the same way.
Hallelujah.
Amen. This is what we do for one another.
That's right.
Amen.
Exactly.
So, and we all can say, yeah, that's right, brother. And now we'll be looking forward to seeing each other. Because I know I can get some mutual aid and encouragement from you.
Amen.
Can't be wrong for the church now because they know when I go in there, everybody's against me more so than I'm in the world. I might as well stay on home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy said at the bar, treat me better than the phone.
That's
right. Wow. Yeah, there's some people still in the bar.
Yeah, exactly.
Amen. They go to church, but they're still in the bar.
Right. Right.
See, we don't like to talk about that, right? Everybody clean, right? No, there's still some people.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, God getting them out of the club.
Yeah, that's right.
But amen. He getting
right.
them out.
That's right.
What do you say?
They're now in the bar.
You know what I mean, amen.
God is moving us, amen.
So let's encourage one another, amen.
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 Let's encourage one another. Hang in there.
Yeah.
Next time you see somebody, amen, you tell them, hang in there.
Amen.
After service, somebody tell you, hey, how things going? You hang in there.
Amen.
I'm praying for you still.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm believing God for the best of your life still. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
I'm standing in agreement with you still.
That's right.
Amen. Oh, yeah. You know what? I have some scriptures, right? You know what? I got some scriptures I came across the other day. These might be helpful for you. Amen.
Yes, right.
Don't stop preaching now.
Yeah.
Don't go over there looking for an offering. Break it down in the Greek and the Hebrew. Just be encouraging. Amen. Amen. Then move on.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
The love don't act like that, amen?
Exactly.
Amen. But we're going to be what? We're going to be steadfast in the faith, but we need to be, because unless we're steadfast, unless we're fixed in our purpose, amen, and determined in purpose, and we have an intensity in our spirit, and we have a firm loyalty to God and the things of God, that's the only way we can get there. Amen. But it's going to be with opposition, frustration, all kinds of things, then you and I need to help one another to get to where we're going. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I need your help. You need mine. We need each other.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let us be there for one another. Amen. Doing what? So that we can all be what? Steadfast in our faith. Amen.
Amen.
Well, instead of not be, let's pray this morning. Amen. I praise God. I praise God for you guys. Amen. Because you encourage me. Amen. I pray that I'm encouraging you and we can just continue to encourage one another. Father, we bless you. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, that you have brought us together in your divine providence and sovereignty, Lord. And Father, you do not make any mistakes. Father, we thank you for this gathering of saints that you have blessed us with, O God. And Father, we purpose right now within ourselves, God, to remain steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of our God. And Father, as we purpose to do that individually, Father, we're praying, God, that collectively, Lord, that we will exhort one another, encourage one another, help one another to remain steadfast. Because Father, it is only through that steadfast commitment to the things of God that refusal to waver, that we will come into the blessed promises.
Yeah.
Lord, we read in the Word today that the time had come for Jesus to go to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And when the divine time had come, He set His face like flame.
Yeah.
Father, we believe right now that the time has come for this ministry and for your people of this ministry, God, to go to that next divine place in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, individually and collectively, we set our faces like flint, God, to go forward, to come into the promises of God. Father, we are not swayed by the Samaritans who are ready to oppose us. We are not swayed, God, but even those who may be close to us, who may be acting out in a different spirit.
Yes.
But Father, we are determined, dear God, to see the plans and promises of God come to pass in our lives.
Yes.
And so, Father God, we set ourselves right now in faith in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we declare that by the help of the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of us, that we shall not be moved.
Yes.
Glory to God. Father, we thank you right now.
Yes.
Fill us with a spirit of steadfastness, O God.
Yes.
Fill us with a spirit of strength.
Yes.
Fill us with a spirit of courage.
Yes.
Fill us, O God, with a spirit of power and of might. That, Father God, that we may walk with a determination that cannot be stopped.
Yes.
And, Father, that we can come into the full promises of God. Father, we thank you right now, God. Glory to God. Where we are strengthened for the next leg of the journey.
Yes,
and Father, wherever that is taking us, Father, let us, oh God, be filled with faith, filled with courage, and Father, let us exhort one another that we all may come into the blessed promise of God that we each have in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Father, we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name,
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.